Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is. As it is, was, and always will be. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 7, Text 28.
Yeshang Twandagatang Papang Jananang Punya Karmanam Itvedvanva Mohanir Mukta Bhajanti Mangdura Vrataha.
Translation. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. Purport. Those eligible for elevation to the transcendental position are mentioned in this verse. For those who are sinful, atheistic, foolish, and deceitful, it is very difficult to transcend the duality of desire and hate. Only those who have passed their lives in practicing the regulative principles of religion, who have acted piously and who have conquered sinful reactions, can accept devotional service and gradually rise to the pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, gradually, they can meditate in trance on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the process of being situated on the spiritual platform. This elevation is possible in Krishna consciousness in the association of pure devotees, for in the association of great devotees, one can be delivered from delusion. It is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam that if one actually wants to be liberated, he must render service to the devotees. Mahat sevang dwaram ahu vimuktehe. But one who associates with materialistic people is on the path leading to the darkest region of existence. Tamo dwaram yoshitang sanghi sangam. All the devotees of the Lord traverse this earth just to recover the conditioned souls from their delusion. The impersonalists do not know that forgetting their constitutional position as subordinates to the Supreme Lord is the greatest violation of God's law. Unless one is reinstated in his own constitutional position, it is not possible to understand the Supreme Personality or to be fully engaged in His transcendental loving service with determination.
Yeshang Twantagatang Papang Jananang Punya Karmanam Tidvanva Mohanir Mukta Bhajanti Mangdira Vrataha.
Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are freed from the dualities of delusion, and they engage themselves in my service with determination. In this verse, Lord Krishna speaks of pious people. You are all pious people. Only pious people are attracted to devotional service. There are many things you could be doing, but coming here, you could be working overtime to earn more money, watching TV, boozing, and so on. Many things you could be doing, but you have chosen to come here in the hope of hearing about Krishna and associating with devotees and chanting the holy names of Lord Krishna. So it is understood that you are pious. And we see that although Krishna consciousness is now by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and on the order of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and on the desire of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna consciousness is being preached all over the world, still more Indian people of Indian background, are taking to Krishna consciousness proportionately more than others. So definitely there is still truth in the statements of Shastra that Bharata Bhumi is referred to as Karma Bhumi or Punya Bhumi. So pious people. Not everyone in India is pious. So many great asuras. Kamsa was also Paka Bharatiya. There are so many Indians who are not pious, but many are pious and they appreciate this Krishna consciousness movement. Many people, upon seeing the Western, many Indian people have told me that upon seeing the Western devotees, hamesha ram lagte aapko dekhne, that we feel ashamed, or that we you are doing, we are not doing, and they feel some inspiration that we should also do. And being pious, they appreciate, many people appreciate the principles that ISKCON upholds, that a God-centered life, vegetarian, not taking alcohol, and very good life, going to the temple, hearing about Krishna, hearing about Ram. Often people in the beginning have difficulty understanding about tea and coffee, if they're South Indian, and garlic and onions. But gradually many people by people from India, we're talking about particularly now, by associating with devotees of Lord Krishna, they want to follow these principles and take it up because they are pious. Here Lord Krishna says, Yeshang Twantagatang Papang Jananang Punya Karmanam. Those who are performing pious activities, those who are inclined towards pious activities, they tend to take to Krishna consciousness. In Bhagavad Gita elsewhere also, in this chapter, Lord Krishna states that Chaturvidha Bhajante Mang Jana Sukritino Arjuna Artho Jignyasur Artharthi Jnani Cha Bharatarshabha. He states that pious people, four kinds of pious people, they take up my devotional service. He says that Sukritinaha. Here in this verse we have Punya karma nam, those who are engaged in punya karma. And in this other verse I'm quoting, those who are engaged in sukriti. So these are both similar words which mean pious activities. Those who are distressed, desiring wealth, inquisitive, or in knowledge of the Absolute Truth, such persons, they come to Krishna consciousness. So piety is mentioned. Now, there's also a very important verse that Rupa Goswami has given us, talking about the qualification to enter into Krishna consciousness. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita matihi kriyatang yadi katopi labhyate tatram lolyam api mulyam ekalam janma koti sukritaya na labhyate. He speaks of Krishna consciousness, Krishna bhakti rasa bhava. This term Srila Prabhupada has translated as Krishna consciousness. It's not really fully translatable into all the concepts are not fully translatable into English, but Prabhupada has encapsulated Krishna bhakti rasa bhava as Krishna consciousness. So Rupa Goswami says that if he's giving an analogy, often Rupa Goswami in his writings, please come in, settle down and try to listen nicely because we don't have much time and we should try to listen very clearly. That will help us. So he says, Rupa Goswami gives many analogies in his writings. Actually, all the Vaishnava Acharyas, Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita, so many analogies. So Rupa Goswami says that if Krishna consciousness is being sold at any place, one should purchase it. Now, of course, Krishna consciousness is not something you can purchase with money. How much does it cost? Give me bhakti. How much? Give me $100 of bhakti. How much does it cost per pound? Oh, there's no, not purchasable by money, but not by any amount of money. But what is the price? Tatra lolyam api mulyam ekalam. The price is lolyam, which means greed, actually. In modern Hindi, that's the term, that Sanskrit word has come out as lalach. 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 Yeah. So So lolyam means that's not considered a very good quality, is it? Lalchiat means not good. But this lolyam, this greed to have Krishna, this is the only price by which Krishna can be purchased, Krishna consciousness. And Rupa Goswami says, Janma koti sukritayana labhyate, in many millions of lifetimes of sukriti, or pious activities, one cannot attain this Krishna bhakti rasa bhav, or the bhav that comes from the rasa of Krishna bhakti. Now how does this compare with Krishna's statements in Bhagavad Gita that sukritivan, one who has got sukriti, he can take to Krishna consciousness. Yeshang tvantagatang papang jananang punya karma nam, who is engaged in punya karma, he can take to Krishna consciousness. But Rupa Goswami says no, that you can do in millions of lifetimes, one can perform sukriti, but this in itself is not enough to take to Krishna consciousness. So to understand this, we'll have to see this, we'll have to read this verse in Bhagavad Gita very carefully and read the purport also, what Prabhupada is explaining. That there are 2 points here, punya karma nam and te dvanvano moha nirmukta, being free from the illusion of duality, me, him, Mera Bharat Mahan, Pakistan, Hamara Dushman. We are Bharatiya, we are Indian, and they are Pakistan, they are the enemies. Or nowadays it's... Anyway, politics always changes. So, hot and cold, these are the dualities generally mentioned. Sukh and Dukh, happiness and distress. These are the dualities of material existence. So one who is free from these dualities, who sees Krishna only, Krishna and service to Krishna. He doesn't see this material object is good for my enjoyment, this is opposed to my enjoyment. But he sees everything in relationship to Krishna. So this means to go beyond duality. So punya karma is not enough in itself to take to bhakti. That verse there is there also, Chaturvidha Bhajanti Manjana Sukritin Arjuna. 4 kinds of persons take to my service, but that means that they're in the very beginning stage. In the very beginning stage of bhakti, that is not, one doesn't have the lolyam or greed to attain Krishna. Rather, in the beginning stages of bhakti, one has the lolyam or greed. Artha, he has some distress. His desire is not actually in this beginning stage of Krishna consciousness or mixed bhakti. One has the desire not to attain Krishna, but with thinking that how Krishna will benefit me. What will Krishna do for me? I want some money. I got thrown out of so many jobs. All my businesses failed. I have no more credit rating. Now the only hope is Krishna. That's artharti. No hope but Krishna. There is not love for Krishna. This is love of money. And Krishna, can you help? So, or inquisitive. This means one is interested in knowledge, but not interested in Krishna himself. Or the jnani, or one who actually knows, yes, Krishna is tu Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He is udara sarva eva ite jnani tvat maiva mepriyam. All these are udar, Krishna says. These are all open-minded, is the modern terminology. Open-minded souls, but magnanimous. Yeah, that's the word Prabhupada uses. He says, but the jnani is dear to me. So jnani here means who has not this gyan, bahunang janmanamante gyanavang bang prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlaba. Jnani doesn't mean simply one who reads many books and spouts them out and has no love or faith for Krishna. But jnani means who after many births comes to the conclusion that Vasudeva, Krishna, is all in all, and thus desires to surrender unto him. So others who approach Krishna with some material desire, they cannot attain this lowlier, they cannot actually attain Krishna bhakti rasa bhav. They may take to Krishna consciousness, but that is not bhakti. Actually means shuddha bhakti, or pure. Shuddha bhakti means anyabhilashita shunyam jnana kamadhyanavritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti rutama. Uttama bhakti means amishrit bhakti, not mixed with desires for personal gain or desire to become an intellectual, or desires to take Krishna's help to avoid Krishna and merge into Krishna's effulgence. Any other desire but that to serve Krishna only for Krishna's pleasure is called the covering, the avaranam of bhakti. So it's not actual bhakti, but it has a semblance, it may have a semblance of bhakti or a beginning of bhakti. That's why Krishna says, Chaturvidha bhajante mang jana sukritina arjuna. These are pious people. They're somehow or other coming close towards bhakti. But at the same time, they have personal desires. So they cannot taste the Krishna bhakti ras, because the ras of bhakti comes when simply we want to serve Krishna for his pleasure. If we're doing bhakti, but we're trying to find ras from seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, tasting, thinking, with the idea, I shall enjoy these things. Instead of engaging our seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, smelling, feeling, everything for Krishna's pleasure only. Then Rupa Goswami has also described that bhukti mukti spriha yavat pisachi hridi vartate tavat bhakti sukhasyatra katam abhyudayo bhavet. He gives the rhetorical question. As long as these desires are within our hearts, the desires for sense enjoyment, or even the desire for mukti, he describes these as pishachi, like a witch who, whatever food, whatever nourishment we take, sometimes there are people who are haunted by ghosts and they can eat, but they get no nourishment. They remain always sick, lying on the bed and very thin, because the ghost is eating the food. So lust like that, we may be performing bhakti, but we have material desires, and therefore the actual bhakti sukh, the Krishna bhakti rasa bhava sukh, it cannot arise within the heart. It's not possible. So ordinary piety in itself, that may help us to take to bhakti. Generally pious people take to bhakti. Generally impious people are not attracted. If they hear that there is no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit, well, no me either, I'm not going. You do whatever you like, but not for me. Or they say, oh, you don't do what you... There's so much demons that I won't do it and you won't do it either. We'll punish you for that. The pious people are attracted. They think, oh, this is very good, very nice, very good moral life. But actual bhakti is far beyond the platform of simple morality and purity. Often people think that Krishna conscious movement is very good because it's very good life, very pure, and no bad habits. Nowadays that's not very common in India either. There's recently one father was praising his son to me. He was saying that my son has no habits, by which he meant no bad habits. No bad habits. Very good. No meat eating, no drinking, no smoking. Very good. He'll be a very good husband. He was praising. So no bad habits. So often people think that the Krishna conscious movement, it's very good because we lead very good, clean life. So that's true, but that is not the total glory of bhakti, or that is not the total mission of the acharyas, that we are to preach how people shall become vegetarian or how they shall lead a moral life. Because that punya in its in itself has nothing to do with bhakti. As Prabhupada pointed out, that even the pigeons and monkeys are vegetarian. So to be a vegetarian is not such a great glory in itself. Even Hitler was reputed to be a vegetarian. So, of course, he was killing so many people, or having them killed. And we find even these principles, they may be followed even by people who are complete atheists, just like those who are actually Buddhists. They also follow these principles. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Vedna Manya Bodh Hoilo Nastik. Because the Buddhists, they don't recognize the Vedas, they're considered Nastik. Asti means there is. So Astika means there is existence, there is an ultimate principle. This is the subject matter of the Vedas, Brahma, the absolute truth. Brahma also means the Vedas, and it means the absolute truth. Asti. But the Buddhists, they are Nastikavadi. There is nothing. Everything is nothing. Nothing is everything. They have so much philosophy to explain how everything is nothing. So, but they don't accept the Vedas. But they're strict vegetarians. I mean, they're actual Buddhists. I mean, most of the Buddhists in the world, if you go to Thailand and Malaysia and all these places, they're quite difficult to find a vegetarian Buddhist. Many Buddhists, but not many vegetarians. But they're supposed to be vegetarians. They don't kill animals. They buy from the shop. They have Muslim butchers. And they, anyway, that's another story. So, they're vegetarian, they don't smoke. Of course, many Thai monks, they also, in their begging bowls, they get given cigarettes, and they also smoke. They're not supposed to, real Buddhists, they're not supposed to smoke or drink, they're supposed to be very strict. But they're not devotees of Krishna, and they don't become devotees either. Very difficult to make a Buddhist in, to bring him to Krishna consciousness, because they have no concept of, for all their apparent piety, they have very little inherent inclination to take up Krishna bhakti. They don't even like the idea of that there is a supreme being, a god. So they're very impious. In one sense, they're very pious. They're vegetarians and follow certain principles, those who are actually Buddhists. But because of their nirvisheshvad, or their philosophy that there is nothing, Krishna also is nothing, or the Mayavadis, they also, in India we have more Mayavadis, who they follow principles more strictly than the Vaishnavas, generally. They're very strict. But they're not pious. In one sense they're pious, but in another sense they're very impious, because Mayavadi Krishna Aparadi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, because they think that Krishna is also part of Maya. Or the Shaktas, they say that Shakti, Durga, she is the source of everything, even of Vishnu, which is an offense. So modern Hinduism, in one sense it's very pious, but on the other side there are so many wrong philosophies being propagated that people, in their tendency is to be pious, to have pious behavior, but the ideas that are being floated around are very impious and sinful. Just like someone was telling me recently, a devotee, telling me that her parents had become disciples of one Bapa, by going to whom one will have Nirasha. I don't want to say his name, but I sometimes call him Nirasharam. So, he's a famous guru. Actually, he's a rascal. He's not a guru, but he poses as a guru. So she was telling me how, after taking so-called diksha from him, her parents had become vegetarian. And she thought, well, that's good. He became vegetarian. But I said, better they didn't go to him and remain non-vegetarian. They'd be less sinful. She couldn't understand that. Can you understand that? Probably not, because eating meat is sinful, isn't it? But it's more sinful to consider that everything is all one, and you can choose any God you like, and there's no—we're all ultimately God. The Mayavadi preaching, or there's one other, there's one Baba in South India. There's one word in English, Sai, S-I-G-H. So whenever I hear about him, I sigh. I don't want to say his name. So people say, well, many people they're his followers, and they all, most of them, he doesn't say you have to become vegetarian. Many people become vegetarian. Again, much better. Of course, we're not saying meat eating is good, but to go to him is extremely sinful, because he's such an extremely sinful person, because he allows himself to be worshipped as Bhagawan. Any of you from South India, Andhra?
Yeah.
Okay, so you all know Venkatesh Suprabhatam?
Yeah.
It's very famous there in Tamil Nadu and Andhra Pradesh. What's the refrain of it? What's the last line? Yeah. I'm not remembering. Each line there's a refrain. Anyway, I can't remember. Anyway, what they did, they put the whole song and put his name in. You know that? Now, how sinful is that? That actual Bhagawan Narayana, and they've given all the names, and at one point they'll take out the name of Narayana and put his name.
Yeah.
And that is, but people are so foolish, they think, oh yes, very good. So they think, I'm becoming pious, I'm becoming religious by going to him, but actually they become extremely sinful. Just like Jarasandha, he's another Bharatiya. So he was very pious in many ways. He served the Brahmanas. He would give charity to Brahmanas. He was pious. He followed the Vedic rules. But he hated Krishna. He worshipped Vishnu. But he hated Krishna. Is that possible? Because he did the Karma Kanda worship of Vishnu. He's very pious. But when actually Vishnu came, he wanted to kill. Or rather, he attacked Krishna so many times to kill him. So in the same way, many people who are pious, they worship Krishna. But because they go to these impious Mayavadis who want to take the position of Krishna, or say that Jeev is Shiva, or Ishwar and Jeeva are all the same, then they become just like Jarasandha, who superficially worshipped, did very nice worship in the temple of Narayana. But when Narayana comes personally, then he wants to kill him, just like you're talking about Satyanarayana. Satyanarayana Puja, we shall do Narayana Puja, and he shall give us so many benedictions. And if he doesn't, we'll throw him away, Visarjanam, and call him Mithya. Because we don't want Narayana, we want so many material goods. We're not doing puja because we have bhakti, but because we want bhukti, or sense enjoyment. So this is not, this is actually, from the beginning it's mithya, because maya, we want maya. We are asking Narayan to give us that which will increase our maya. So it's not actually Narayan puja. So this kind of punya, this will not bring us to actual bhakti. There are so many mistakes. Modern Hinduism is divorced from the actual Shastric understanding. So Prabhupada has given these books that we should read and discuss and understand. Because we may think, I will come to ISKCON, it's very nice, we'll be very pious, and we'll chant Hare Krishna, that's also very good. But unless we understand this philosophy, Te Dvandva Moha Nirmukta, here, Prabhupada writes, in the association of pure devotees, one can be delivered from delusion. So many times we see people take to Krishna consciousness. And even I see they get initiated in ISKCON, but they're still keeping the old ideas. So just like we'll worship Krishna and all the different demigods also. Or we'll still keep attachment to our old Kula Guru, who cannot give us any benefit whatsoever, no actual benefit, because he's not a pure devotee of Krishna. But because we feel some sentimental attachment, we're still attached to that. But that means if we have these material attachments, then we cannot get the lolyam. We cannot get the lolyam means the strong desire to attain Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Sweet sound. Is it reminding us of Krishna? We hope so. So, piety, actually, which kind of piety we can take to pure devotional service? The piety that is connected to Krishna consciousness, that Sukriti, the Sukriti that can take us to Krishna consciousness is of a different quality of that which the materialistic people have. Materialistic people may be pious in one sense, vegetarian and no bad habits, but their desire is to enjoy the material world. So in essence, they're not very much different from the demons who want to enjoy the pious people in desire to enjoy this material world in a good way, we can say. And the impious people want to enjoy this material world in a bad way. They don't mind, they'll kill, they'll steal, they'll cheat, they'll lie to get their object. And the pious people say, no, this is not good. We should be good, and we should cooperate together, and we should perform pious activities, and we can go to the heavenly planets, and we shall enjoy in a good way. But their aim is the same that as the demons, out-and-out demons, which is to enjoy this material world. So that piety or that sukriti, that is called bhogonmukhi sukriti. That pious activities which leads to enjoyment, it's aimed at enjoying this material world. Because we think that if I give so many cows in charity to the brahmanas, or if I avoid sinful activities like meat eating, then I will get punya karma, and in a future life, I shall get enjoyment. I shall go to heaven and like this. So it's punya, but it's a long way from bhakti. It has nothing to do with bhakti. Because bhakti means acting only for the pleasure of Krishna. Anyabhilashita shunyam. Free from any other desire. And this bhogonmukhi punya means acting in a pious manner, but with a selfish desire. So it may seem that the Krishna conscious movement, following these principles and going to the temple, is the same as that of ordinary pious people who also go to the temple and they teach their children Bhagavad Gita shlokas and they're vegetarians, but there's a complete difference in purpose. There's also mokshonmukhi sukriti, pious activities performed for the sake of attaining liberation from material existence. But there are not many people like that nowadays. And there's bhakti-unmukhi sukriti, means that which is performed for the purpose of attaining bhakti, or it may even be agyata sukriti, which is performed even without knowing one gets the benefit of performing activities which help us to come to shuddha bhakti. So in this sense, punya karma, even materialistic punya karma, is better than sinful activities, because a grossly sinful person, a demon, he actually hates the pious people and wants to kill them and stop them. Whereas pious people, they are trained that, for instance, we should respect sadhus. Because if you think sadhus, they're very good people, and if we respect them, we'll get blessings, and then we'll enjoy material life in a pious way. So we should respect sadhus. And we should follow, we should observe Ekadashi, Vrata, because if we do so, if we observe this one, Putrada Ekadashi, we get good sons. And like this, there are so many different Ekadashis one can follow, and one will get a result which will help one to enjoy in this material existence. But if one does these things, performs these pious activities in relationship to a pure devotee of Krishna, then what happens, as Prabhupada states in this purport here, that all the devotees of the Lord traverse this earth just to recover the conditioned souls from their delusion. So one may invite, Aye Maharaj, please come. Come to our home and we'll do padarpanam and we'll do some arati and give you some prasadam and give some donation. You think this is my punya. But the sadhu will speak something or give a book by which the person can be delivered from the duality of delusion. By serving, as Prabhupada quotes here, Mahat Sevang Dwaram Aho Vimuktehe, by serving such great souls, persons who are connected with Krishna, then our Krishna notices that. We get points, if you like, plus points, by which we can, that will purify our consciousness and make our consciousness favorable for accepting pure devotional service. Or for instance, here in the purport, Prabhupada mentions pious activities such as planting trees on the road. That's considered pious activities because people walk on the road and it's very hot and the tree shades them. So that's a pious activity, to plant trees on the side of the road. And that's a very good pious activity, because as long as the tree is giving shade, you may be already gone to heaven, and as long as people are walking underneath, you keep on, it gives you punya even after you pass away. But if a pure devotee who's going along the road to preach Krishna consciousness comes along chanting the holy names, then you get bhakti unmukhi sukriti. Without even knowing it, one gets the benefit of serving a pure devotee. And this prepares the consciousness to that when one again comes in contact with pure devotees, he can take up pure devotional service. But the pure devotional service, it should be understood, is not merely pious activity. Even chanting the holy names, many people, they chant the holy names as a pious activity. Isn't it? They think, we'll chant and that's very good and we'll get the blessings of God. But one can actually begin to chant when one hears from devotees and understands who is Krishna, who are we, and why should we chant. Not chanting simply to become good or pious or to remove our difficulties, God will remove our difficulties so that we can live in this material world very peacefully and piously and nicely, but rather chanting means to chant Nayanam Galada Shudharya Vadanam Gadgada Rudhaya Gira Pulakaya Nichitang Vapukada Tava Namagrahane Bhavishyate, with full love of Krishna, simply absorbed in love of Krishna, with tears pouring from the eyes like torrents of rain, hairs of the body standing on end. This ecstasy of love of Krishna doesn't come if we are calculating. Now I'm chanting, and then gold coins will rain from heaven. We see the picture of Lakshmi with her Ashivadim is there, and gold coins are coming. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is praying that how we should chant. Ai nanda tanuja kinkarang patitang mang vishame bhavambuddha. I'm in this horrible condition. We're thinking this horrible condition means I don't have enough money. Lakshmi will send some gold coins. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says the whole material existence, gold coins or no gold coins, is miserable. Therefore, let me be situated in vishame bhavambuddha. Kripaya tava pada pankaja stita duli sadrishang vichintaya. Let me be situated in the dust of your lotus feet. So when we can pray like this, when there is lowly, and let me attain to Krishna, then this is actual bhakti that is to be. This is actual bhakti that is to be attained. So when we're talking about bhakti, we should understand what this is. Generally, people think bhakti is some very vaguely understood devotion, and you can have bhakti for Shiva or Ganesh or some Baba or Bappa or Amma or all these different various persons. But bhakti means sarvadhaman paritta ja mamekam sharanam raja Ahang tvang sarva papebhyo moksheshiva. Yagma Sutra, to surrender to Krishna only, by which we get free from all sins. It's all sins means, that doesn't mean that Krishna says, I'll free you from all sins, then you can go to swarga. That's also a sinful desire. In the intrinsic meaning of the term, we think there's punya and pap. But actually, even what we call punya, that's also one kind of pap. Because the idea that I shall go to swarga and enjoy myself, that is the root cause of sinful desire, by which one who is in swarga now later becomes a worm in stool for his sinful activities. Because he has the desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, so he's doing punya, but then that punya, because it's the basis is not how can I satisfy Krishna, how can I satisfy myself. So at some point, by bad association or by some deep desire in the heart, he'll do some pap karma. That why am I doing all this punya? I can immediately enjoy. Why should I do this punya so I can enjoy with apsaras in swarg? There's someone's wife right here. Grab her and enjoy her right away. So that because that sinful desire enters, and then one becomes degraded to become a hog, a dog, a worm in stool. So this platform of punya, this is not jiva dharma. That is not the dharma of the jiva. That is the delusion of maya. So pious people are taking to Krishna consciousness, but they can only really take to Krishna consciousness if they become te dvandvam moha nirmukta, free from the dualities of delusion, of thinking how I can enjoy this material world, understanding that I am only meant for Krishna, I'm not meant for anything else. I'm not meant for serving my body or anyone else's body. I'm only meant for serving Krishna's body, Krishna's naam, roop, gun, lila, parika. So this is a very great topic. I don't have any more time. I'd like to speak more. But I am speaking actually on Prabhupada's order by writing books, and I'd like to present